All right.
After that. Alrighty.
Wonderful, wonderful session praising our Lord. Now for the real stuff, hey?
Thank you, Lord.
If we can just stretch out our hands and just pray for Dave. Father, thank you so much for your might and your glory and your power. Mm. Lord, I just pray a special blessing over Dave this morning, Lord, that you use him, that you speak through him, Lord, and that you may open our ears and our minds and our hearts to you, and that we may know you better.
Amen.
So we thank you for the privilege, Lord, of getting to be in your presence and to learn more about you and to hear more about you and your wisdom and your ways. May this be a blessing to us all. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And thank you for the privilege of standing up in front of you folk. The first beep was soft. You could hardly faintly hear it above the noise of the engine as the small plane started climbing into the sky. The instructor sitting in the left-hand seat next to me looked at me and smiled. He said, "Are you ready?" My stomach tightened with fear. Because we were going to do a spin that morning. And he was going to teach me how to recover from a spin. I was terrified. Because many years before this, I fell out of an aeroplane at 4,000 foot while doing my first parachute jump. And that experience so traumatized me that every time I got into that little plane to do the first lessons of a PPL, I was terrified. And I'm going to speak to you this morning about fear, because let me say, tell you something, I have experienced it. Fear is something that drains our faith. It pulls away at what God has given us. Just find where I am here. You may ask, why did I willingly put myself in a position where what I was doing, I was dead scared of? Well, somewhere in my BC days, I had read, do the thing you fear, and the death of fear is certain. And that's why I started taking lessons to learn how to fly a plane. But that was in my BC days. When I thought that the power to change my life was in my hands, that in order to improve myself, I had to take control. What happened next showed me how wrong I was. Fear had me by the throat in a grip that would not let go. I did not know what I know now. I did not know then what I know now. God talks much about fear in the Bible, which shows the importance that he puts to it. It starts off in Genesis 15, chapter 1, where he made a covenant with Abraham, or Abram in those days, After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. Fear cancels faith. Fear causes the problem we are facing to grow until it becomes bigger than God in our minds. Fear causes us to take our eyes off Jesus and consider the waves that threaten to engulf us. Fear is our enemy. And thanks to Flocky for putting that so well in his WhatsApp to us this week. Genesis 26:24. Speaking to Isaac, the Lord said, that night the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Notice that the spelling had changed. He now received a new name. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and increase the number of your descendants. For the sake of my servant Abraham. Interesting to see that God spoke to father and son, Abraham and Isaac, and gave them both the same message. Do not be afraid. Why? Because I am with you. He didn't say don't be afraid because you won't have any problems. He said no. Don't be afraid because I am with you. And that, I think, is the trick. That is the secret. So to carry on with the story that I started, what happened next on this Saturday morning? The warning beep sounded again as this plane was climbing in the still morning air. It was louder this time, and I knew what it was. Every aircraft has a stall warning device fitted to it, which warns the pilot if the plane's angle of attack or its climbing angle puts the plane in jeopardy of stalling and falling out the sky. My instructor and I had spent hours in the classroom where he explained to me what causes a plane to fly and what causes a plane not to fly. I had been doing a PPL lesson for some time, and I was now about ready to fly solo. But first, I had to learn how to recover from a spin. You see, we all have spins in our lives. We all have those things that happen to us which cause us to look carefully at whether we are on the right track or not. So that warning beep became louder and louder as we climbed up in the sky. Eventually, the instructor turned to me and he said, remember what we've practiced. When you go into a spin, throttle back, level the wings, and pull her out. Throttle back, level the wings, and pull her out. I'd repeated that 1,000 times as I mentally practiced what to do when this spin was going to happen. Throttle back, level the wings, and pull her out. The aircraft now started to shake, and the stall warning was a scream. It was a shriek. Beep, 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 beep. Doctor turned to me and winked. He said, are you ready? I nodded because I was too terrified to speak. And then it happened. The left wing stopped flying. And the plane flipped over that way and started spinning as it plummeted to the earth. Right, he said, throttle back, throttle back. The aircraft throttle is situated in front of a pilot in the dashboard, and to throttle back, you pull it back. However, in my case, that's exactly the opposite to what a tractor throttle does. And I've driven tractors all my life since I was a boy. So in my blind panic, I hammered that throttle right forward. And there we went into a full power spin, hurtling to the earth. No, my instructor screamed, no, no. He knocked my hand away and he powered off, leveled the wings, and pulled that plane out at treetop level. Praise God. Praise God. So why am I talking to you about this experience of mine? Well, what is the point of this? The first point is to show us the effect of fear. Fear blinds you. Fear causes you to do stupid, irrational things. Secondly, the reason for sharing this is to praise God for saving my life, as He has many times. And thirdly, to tell us all that within us, each one of us, has a stall warning in us. We know what's right and we know what's wrong. And to be very well aware of that stall warning that operates within us. So that's enough of my word. Let's look at God's word. Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." You know, God talks about do nots quite often, doesn't he? He says, do not kill. He says, do not steal. And we don't do those things because we know it's wrong. But do we realize he says in the same way, he says, do not fear. It's a do not that God has instructed us to be obedient to. Right, the Lord has given us an absolute reason not to fear. In all these scriptures we've just shared, he says, do not fear, for I am with you. It's not some tinpot God that's with us. It's not some stone or wood idol. It's the Holy One of Israel. It's the God who created everything. He said, I am with you. Psalm 27:1 puts it quite well, where it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We need to begin to understand that God is sovereign. Sovereign over our affairs, sovereign over all affairs. And in Isaiah 41, verse 1, the prophet Isaiah repeated God's words when he said this, be silent before me, you islands. This is God speaking to the world. Be silent before me, you islands. Let the nations renew their strength. Let them come forward and speak. Let us meet together at the place of judgment. God is asking some questions in this prophecy. In verse 2, God asks this question. Who has stirred up one from the east, calling him in righteousness to his service? Who is God referring to in the scripture? In Isaiah 45, verse 1, this is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of to subdue nations before him, and to strip kings of their armor, to open doors before him, so that the gates will not be shut. Who was Cyrus? Cyrus was a Persian emperor, a pagan. But this pagan liberated the Jewish exiles from Babylon. And Cyrus was responsible for allowing them back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. So here God used a pagan, an unbeliever, to rescue his people. Verse 3 says, talking about Cyrus, I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am God, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. So that you may know. So that you, pagan king, may know that it is I who called you. The Lord is sovereign over all nations. And because he is sovereign over all nations, he's sovereign over all our situations. So the first reason we should not fear is that God is sovereign. He's in control. Isaiah 40 says this, verse 25 and 26. To whom then will you compare God? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his mighty power and great strength, not one of them is missing. There is a purpose for everything that God has done. He is sovereign over all the earth and all the affairs of men. And yet, although he is sovereign, he loves us and has chosen us. Isaiah 41:8. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, who I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth. From its furthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The Lord also says again in verse 13, for I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Even when we are in need, we are not to fear, but to trust him. Let's look at verse 17. The poor and needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst. In times like we're going through right now, water is scarce. Maybe some of us feel like this. But listen to what God says. But I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. God will answer your needs by, verse 18, I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valleys. I will turn the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into springs. And the Lord will be glorified by this, and may we take these words to heart. Verse 20. so that people may see and know, may consider and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this, that the Holy One of Israel has created it. Father, I pray, Lord, that you give us eyes that see and know, that you give us minds that may consider and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this, that you, God, are sovereign in our lives. So no matter the circumstances, the Lord is sovereign and in complete control. He has chosen you. He is with you and gives you strength. He will transform you and your circumstances, and he will sustain you. Faith drives out fear the same way that light drives out darkness. And I believe God is calling all of us into a fresh awareness of faith. We'll be returning to the childlike faith that believes that God is who he says he is, and he will do what he has promised. So to end this morning, I'd like to say the only fear we should have is the fear of the Lord. A deep, reverent awe for God's holiness, his power, and his authority in our lives. Where we acknowledge his majesty, where we honor him as the Holy One of Israel, and we desire to please him, to obey his commands, and to live a life centered on him. So let's pray to start off, to finish off with. Father God, we bless you, Lord. We bless you that you are the Holy One of Israel, that you, Lord, are sovereign, that you've created us and you've chosen us. We bless you and praise you for that, Lord. And we pray this in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you all.